This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Joe Palca in Washington. Just before the break, we were talking with Stacy Lynn Kerner. She's executive vice president at the Initiative and director of global research integration for the company. And we're going to say goodbye to her now, so that we can turn to a rather more important, perhaps, and more serious topic at the moment, and that's the humanitarian crisis in the Darfur region of Sudan. Unfortunately, that situation continues to worsen. It's prompted the United Nations to threaten sanctions against the Sudanese government unless it stops the violence, which has killed tens of thousands of people and forced nearly 1.5 million others into refugee camps. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees has spent the past 5 days visiting refugee camps in Darfur and the neighboring country of Chad, where many of the villagers have fled. Ruud Lubbers also met today with Sudanese government officials to discuss ways to stop the violence. The High Commissioner, Ruud Lubbers, joins us from Khartoum, Sudan's capital city. Thank you for taking the time from your busy schedule to talk with us today.
Thank you.
Sir, you visited several of the refugee camps in Darfur and Chad. What did people taking shelter there say to you about what had happened to them?
What happened there? Of course, also with some refugees of many months, and we heard at first hand of the 200,000 people who fled Darfur for Chad, where we found shelter refuge for people from camps 60 kilometers to better distance from the border.
Mr. Lubbers, I'm afraid.
Of course.
I'm afraid that we're not able to hear your end of the conversation, so I'm going to see if the people in the control room can try to tweak the signal in some way, or perhaps we'll have to call you back. In the meantime, I'd like to invite our callers to talk to us about the Darfur situation. If they've been following it, I know it's a bit of a jump if you've been listening to the program for the last hour where we've been talking about television comedies, but really this is such an important issue that I think it deserves the attention that we're going to give it. And I just hope that we can make this radio or telephone signal work. Our number here is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Or you can send an email to totn@npr.org. And we're trying right now to resolve some technical problems we have with the telephone signal with Ruud Lubbers, who's the UN High Commissioner, who is in Khartoum investigating the situation there, which unfortunately is quite grim. Thousands of people have died, and there's really no simple way to resolve the situation. Well, perhaps there is a simple way, but it's not been appearing that way to the various factions involved, because they seem unwilling or unable to stop the violence. It does leave the international community in a strange situation of having to sort of go and talk about this devastation without really being able to do, or at least to bring the political will to do anything about it. We're still trying to dial back to Ruud Lubbers, who is the High Commissioner in Khartoum. It sounded like he might have been on a cell phone where the connection was bad, and rather than have us sit here and trying to figure out what he was trying to say, we've simply decided to let me rattle on for a few minutes while we try to get him back on the line. And if you'd like to join me in this conversation, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. We're going to try once more to get Mr. Lubbers back on the line. Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, you were starting to say... Good. You were starting to say that you had visited several camps, and you were telling us what people were saying there.
Now, what people reported, the 200,000 who fled, is that there has been an awful situation for many months, in which it was a combined attack from the air by bombings and raids on the ground, mainly by what was called the Janjaweed. As it were, villages, there were many real spaces of murder,
right,
taking the livestock away of the people. So they forced the people, as it were, out of the villages, and of large numbers.
Yeah,
they're talking to you more than a million people.
Okay. So can I get you to stop for a minute? Because I think I can just help people maybe who are having a hard time hearing what you're saying. You're basically saying that the Janjaweed were responsible for the bombings and forcing people out of their villages. Isn't that correct? Did I hear you properly?
Yes.
Okay, good. So is there any plan now to aid these, to bring the situation to some sort of a conclusion? Is there anything that people are suggesting?
Yes. There are a few things here. First, one improvement is that the government of Sudan committed itself some time ago to end this bombing, and in fact it ended. And they instructed the people on the ground, I'm speaking about the Janjaweed and militia, to refrain from further burning down villages. That is a good thing. What's still happening is that there are incidents on the ground. So it's not completely safe for the people. And this, let's say, 1 million people which are there in IDP concentrations feel very scared. They cannot move out of it, because the countryside, not to speak of their villages, are still unsafe. So we are going in now with the monitors of the ceasefire. This is of the African Union. We'll be there with monitors of the High Commissioner for Human Rights and UNHCR itself, because we have experience with uprooted people, will be there in first place to report incidents, which is a form of protection, then to organize that these people, when something happens, get serious reactions of the responsible authorities, and then gradually to build up what I would call self-defense and good organization of these camps. Beyond that, we'll go to the villages to see if there are conditions in which they can return. That all will take some time. So beyond this humanitarian effort, I've made a strong call on both the government and the rebel leaders to come quickly now also to a political solution for the conflict. Today there's only a ceasefire. That's better than fighting, of course, but it's not enough, because the people are scared to death that tomorrow again there might be violence again. So only when there is a real commitment both of the government and the rebels to agree on a new political future of Darfur with a acceptable degree of autonomy in Darfur within the territorial integrity of Sudan, then we have real progress. So this mission, I was here with the main donors from Washington, from state. I was here with the European Commission. I was here with Japan, I was here with Germany, and we made it very clear that we are not going to accept that this goes on further. So they need this political solution. We need a strong presence on the ground, and from there we can restore confidence, and there will be only the solution. So phase one was this dramatic murdering which was going on. Phase two is the ceasefire. Phase three is effective rebuilding of confidence, and that's what we have started today.
How can the countries of the world, I mean, what do they need to do to make this third phase take place?
I think there has to be a combination of the political pressure that we need this political results out of the negotiation table. Secondly, to fully support the idea that the African Union take co-responsibility to improving the situation. So this is what I spoke, the monitors on the ground from the African Union. The third is to fund the humanitarian workers, and I'm here speaking for UNHCR, to make it possible that we have sufficient good people on the ground to bring back this minimum feeling and conviction of safety, and that's key, of course, for people before they can return to their villages.
We're talking with Ruud Lubbers, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, who's speaking with us from the Sudan's capital city of Khartoum. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'd like to invite one of our callers to join this conversation, Nathan in Richmond, Indiana. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Okay, I have three questions. First question is, why has it taken the UN so long when the numbers are staggering as far as the displaced people and the people that have lost their lives?
Well, let's take them one at a time. Mr. Lubbers, why has this taken so long to resolve, given the scale of the death?
I think we have to make a distinction between the victims in Chad. It didn't take long. Frankly speaking, we assisted there 200,000 people to reasonable living conditions there. In Darfur, it took much more time, because for quite some time, the government here was in denial. They refused access of humanitarian workers. It's only a few months now that humanitarian workers can be in the first place in Darfur. It took, frankly speaking, also some time of the large countries, including the United States, to be convinced of the earnest and the tragedy. To give you an example, I was here in November last year. I reported very clearly to the international community that a disaster was going on. It took 4 months before the big countries changed the position and made it clear that this was not longer acceptable. They made it clear now, but don't blame me that we were too late. We were the earliest one to report this to the world, and it's with some delay that the large countries, including the United States, came to action.
Okay, Nathan, do you want to try the second question?
Yes. Has anyone at the UN made the attempt to contact or speak with the Janjaweed themselves?
So, Mr. Lubbers, the question is, is the UN in touch with the Janjaweed?
No, I didn't speak with the Janjaweed. These are groups of outlaws who existed already and absolutely wrongly, I would say, were used then by the government for a criminal war. It should not have happened, but we have no contact whatsoever with Janjaweed groups.
And your last question, Nathan.
What is the main resource that's going to be coming out of Darfur to be able to support the people? And who stands to profit and gain if those people are removed from that land?
Well, I'm not sure I quite understand the
question.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand the question either, Nathan. Are you asking, who's going to pay to provide the relief that's needed there?
Yes. Well, the question is basically, what is the main resource coming out of this area as far as profitability, and who stands to gain the most?
Oh, I see. Okay. Thanks very much for your questions, Nathan. I think what he's asking is there any wealth in the region of Darfur that makes it an area that people are particularly anxious to get their hands on?
No, I think this is part of a power struggle in the whole of Sudan, which is a country with oil resources and is not as rich as the Arab Peninsula, but it's still substantial. So I think one of the factors which explains the enormous struggle of power in the Sudan is, of course, is oil wealth, and there are other resources as well. So that plays a role, certainly. But this is more the analysis of a political scientist now. As a humanitarian person, I would say this can never be an acceptable reason to go for the horrible things that happened.
And just very quickly, is there any indication that the situation is stabilizing or improving, or is it still dire?
Yes, no, it's improving. First, it was the ending of the bombing and the actions of the militia and the Janjaweed. Then it was access of the humanitarian workers, which is good. We go now to the next phase, that which means the total irrigation also of the last incidents. For this, we need the monitors and the human rights people and ourselves. And from there on, we'll rebuild confidence for people to go back. But the first condition for that is that these people who there in are talking peace stop to do this in abstract wording, but come with concrete results, so that there is confidence that there will be a new Darfur certainly within the limits of the territorial integrity of Sudan, but with autonomy. There is no reason why did she...
Mr. Lubbers, I'm afraid I have to stop there.
And not for Darfur.
We're out of time. Ruud Lubbers is the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. He spoke to us from Khartoum, Sudan. In Washington, I'm Joe Palca, NPR News.